Life is full of important choices, isn't it? Every day we're confronted with choice. What will I do today? What will I watch on TV? What will I buy? What will I eat? You know, the list of choices goes on and on and on. Now, whatever you decide to do with your life, there is really one choice that is more important than any other choice you might make. Today's passage wants to highlight what that is. It's the same choice as Solomon in as Solomon and is when he completed the building of the temple and the palace. Well, now the building work's been finished, but two matters still have to be dealt with. First, there is a matter of faithfulness and matter of we all have an important decision to make. Secondly, this decision needs to be made again and again, even if we chose rightly already. And thirdly, apart from Jesus, we cannot make that decision at all. So there are three things that our passage has to say to us this morning. Firstly then, we all have an important decision to make. If you look with me at verses 1 and 2 in our passage, Solomon has finished building the temple and his palace, and now the Lord appears to him again like he did in Gibeon. But here, the Lord gives Solomon a choice. If you look with me at verses 4 and 5, We have one of these if-then scenarios. So if Solomon does as the Lord commands, then he will experience God's blessing. If Solomon chooses to live like his father David, then God will bless him. But there's another option for Solomon here as well. Look with me at verses 6 to 9. Again, it's an if-then scenario. The Lord says, if Solomon rejects the covenant and is disobedient, God will take Israel's land away from them. Second, also in verse 7, God will leave the temple and will no longer dwell with his people. And finally, if you look in verses 8 through to 9, become a joke nation for round about them. Faithful to God, it won't affect him. It will impact the people of Israel. And the Lord doesn't just say this to Solomon, but to all his children who will sit on the throne after him. If the king disobeys, the whole nation will suffer. If you look at verse 9, God is very clear. If these disastrous things end up happening, the king will only have himself to blame. God offered him the choice of faithfulness and covenant blessing, or disobedience and losing the land, their God and their dignity. Now if that happens, the Lord says it will Israel's own will either experience God's blessing by obeying him, or they will experience God's curses by disobeying him. And that is the choice that the Lord lays before you and me today. We can choose to submit ourselves to him. We can trust in his good rule for our lives. And we can place ourselves under his care so that we might enjoy his blessing. Or we can choose to reject him. We can live our life our own way, do our own thing, and face the disastrous consequences. You know, the Lord calls us into a relationship with himself. He wants to bless us, and he wants us to enjoy him. That's why we were created. That's what we were made to do, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. But we will only enjoy the Lord and his blessings if we are faithful to him. Obedience itself becomes a blessing as we experience the joy of walking with God day by day. Rico Tice, who wrote Christianity Explored, I know some of us have done the Christianity Explored course here, he gives a really helpful illustration here. He talks about being on a beach in Australia, and he takes all his clothes off, gets ready to go into the sea to go swimming, and he looks up and sees some signs that say, "Danger, sharks." And he turns to his friend and he says, "Well, there aren't really any sharks there, are there? Surely that's just a thing to scare people." And his friend says, "Well, look, you have to decide whether they're telling the truth or whether those signs are just there to ruin your fun." Well, he says he thought about it for a moment and then he put his clothes back on and decided he wasn't going to go in swimming. Well, we have to make that same decision, don't we, with the Lord Jesus. Are just there to ruin our fun, or whether he's giving us good rules so that we can fully enjoy him and his blessings as we ought to do. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? There aren't many people who are 60 or 70 or 80 years old who are still going out on the lash down to the pubs every weekend, getting drunk all the time with their friends in the clubs. I mean, I'm sure there are some of them, but I don't think they're very common. You know, I don't think you'll find Ian Averson down at the local clubs on a weekend. But most people realise that over time, that sort of lifestyle is empty. They prefer to settle down. They prefer to get married. They prefer to live differently. And we might look at that and go, well, aren't they limiting themselves? Are they limiting their freedom? But in limiting them themselves, they find that they are more nice than that. But by choosing to limit his freedom and not do that, he was able to enjoy his life rather than being mauled by sharks. And that is ultimately the choice that the Lord Jesus gives to you and to me. We can exercise our freedom to ignore him. We can exercise our freedom to reject him, and in the end, we face the disastrous consequences of an eternity under God's righteous wrath. Or we can choose to limit our freedom. We can choose to give ourselves faithfully to following Jesus. And by giving up some of our apparent freedom in that way, we might actually find real freedom and real fulfillment. But the choice is ultimately yours, isn't it? Will you submit to God's rule and faithfully follow him, or will you reject him and go your own way and face the consequences and are cast into the darkness? Once already. Now, up to this point in our passage, Solomon appears to be making some pretty wise choices, doesn't he? Look at verse 10, for example. At the end of 20 years, Solomon had built a house to the Lord as well as building his own palace. He'd also followed God's plan for kingship to seize him whatever he wanted. Instead of asking for wealth or long life, he asked for wisdom. And God was so pleased that he asked for wisdom to lead the people well, that he gave him long life and wealth as well. So far it looks pretty good for Solomon, doesn't it? And going on, we learn that Solomon wrote many proverbs and psalms that were dedicated to the Lord. So he was clearly a clever, wise man. He was a man of prayer, and he sacrificed endlessly to the Lord, thousands upon thousands of animals. And it was Solomon who built a house in which God dwelt among his people. In fact, Solomon did more for God than almost any other king before or after him. But as we know, as the story rolls on, despite all these great choices and all this brilliant stuff that Solomon did for the Lord, Solomon didn't remain faithful. Solomon had other choices. Led simply this: though we might choose to obey God and follow him, that choice is always in front of us. That choice is always before us. Every time we choose faithfulness, there comes another choice asking, will I be faithful this time? Will I be faithful tomorrow? Will I be faithful next week? For all the good he did and all the stuff that he did for God, Solomon couldn't rely on his choice to ask for wisdom one time, could he? He had to apply that wisdom. He couldn't just go, I've asked for wisdom and I've got it now. That's good for me. He had to apply that wisdom. He had to continually ask, will I be faithful to God today? Will I apply my wisdom in a godly way tomorrow? Will I be faithful next week? And so on and so on. Solomon had to continually choose to be faithful. He had to repeatedly give himself to the Lord. Faithfulness and obedience are not one-time decisions we make. They are ongoing realities. The rest of chapter 9, he completed major building projects and he had power and influence well beyond Israel's borders. Solomon married Pharaoh's beautiful daughter, giving him a prized wife and a good alliance with the Egyptians. He also built a huge navy that allowed him not only to protect his people, but created shipping trade routes, bringing wealth into Israel. So he made Israel rich as a country. Solomon had everything he could ever want, anyone could ever desire, and yet still had the law. That he did decision. Glory to God for everything he had. Would he thank God for his money and then use it for the good of the kingdom? Would he use his power to serve God's people? These are the choices that Solomon had to make every day. He didn't just trust in God once. He didn't just have to be faithful one time. He had to be faithful again and again and again and again. And these same things apply to you and to me today as well. Like Solomon, it doesn't really matter if you once made a commitment to love God. You might have decided in your heart to follow Jesus one day. Now that's great, isn't it? I've trusted in Jesus today. But unless you make that same decision today and you commit yourselves to faithfulness to Jesus tomorrow, that original decision doesn't really mean very much, does it? The choice to follow Jesus and to remain faithful to him is not the one-time decision of a single moment. It's not a matter of praying the sinner's prayer and then considering ourselves sorted out now. I'm forgiven, I'm fine. Being a disciple of Jesus is an ongoing reality in of a your own way. You don't worry about Jesus' commands. Can I respectfully say that you are not a follower of Jesus? If that's you, you do not belong to him and you are not a Christian. But the good news is that you still can be. That decision to live for him remains in front of you even now. You can turn back to him. You can commit yourself to faithfulness again. You can say, do you know what? I haven't been faithful. I did turn away from God, but I want to turn back to him now. I want to walk faithfully with him going on from today. You may have decided to go your own way, but you can change your mind. That is what repentance is. Repentance simply means changing your mind, turning again. You can turn back to him. You can commit yourself to faithfulness from today. You might not be a Christian right now. You might have said you were once, but aren't anymore. But you can turn back to Jesus. Now, for those of us who say, well, yes, I am walking with Jesus. I know I'm a Christian. I was faithful yesterday, and I want to be faithful to him today as well. Well, that's great too. But we can't rest on our laurels, can we? It's great that we're following him today. It's great that we love him today. But that is no guarantee that we will necessarily love him tomorrow. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 12. Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. We can't assume our ongoing faithfulness. The Bible tells us to strive for holiness. Paradise. Now, why does that matter? Why is that such a big thing? Well, we may have lived wonderfully for Jesus. You may have now loved him with all your heart. You may have done wonderful things in his name. But if we abandon our faithfulness now, if we forget him tomorrow, then all those past things we did are really of no value, are they? They haven't achieved anything for the Lord because we've turned round and abandoned him. What's worse is we can get everything that we want out of our life, everything you could ever dream of, and still end up with nothing. Jesus says in Mark chapter 8 verse 36, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world? No matter how successful you appear, if you forget the first commandment that Jesus gave us, then you've got nothing. And what is the first commandment? First commandment is, you shall have no other gods before me. Not me, obviously, but before God. So have no other gods before him. And that doesn't just mean gods like Allah. It doesn't just mean, okay, I won't worship Allah, I'll only worship Jesus. It also includes things like not worshipping our job. Not worshipping our family. Not worshipping our home, not worshipping money, not worshipping anything else that takes the place that only Jesus should have in our lives. Unless we put God first in everything, even in the seemingly small, insignificant decisions we make every day, we may well be putting another God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, giving thanks to him for all that he's achieved for us. It should be done out of faithfulness to Jesus. So the question for us is, will we choose, not just once, but daily, even in the tiny decisions, will we choose faithfulness to God? Will we put our faith in Jesus and center our lives around faithfulness to him? Because in the end, that's really the only choice that matters, isn't it? Well, thirdly and finally, apart from Jesus, we can't make that choice at all. So having said all that, we might be sitting here thinking, how can I do that? How can I possibly be faithful to Jesus all the time? Nobody can do that. If even Solomon didn't remain faithful, how can we have any confidence we will do any better? And on one level, I think we're right to worry about that. The fact is, Solomon made some pretty bad choices in this passage as well. He married foreign wives that he shouldn't have married. He built a large army that God told him not to build. He traded away bits of Israel that God had given to him. The seeds of sin that we saw in chapter 2 are coming to fruition here. And by the time we get to chapter 11, Solomon has become utterly spiritually bankrupt. He's abandoned the Lord altogether. Now, just as Solomon is set up as the king who had everything, the Bible is clear, choose like Solomon did. But the fact of the matter is, nobody can choose to follow Jesus and nobody can remain faithful all by themselves. You can't do it and I can't do it. The choice that God gave to Solomon is one that he'd been giving Israel time and time again. They repeatedly said they would obey God and then they repeatedly disobeyed God. They just couldn't do it. If you notice here in verses, family don't get in trouble. You know, that's just me who gets in trouble. But they do have to wear some of the consequences, don't they? So if I get arrested and go to prison, I can't work anymore. And that's going to impact on them, isn't it? Well, Solomon was similar. Solomon's behaviour, Solomon's choices were going to affect the whole kingdom. And his behaviour eventually led to the kingdom of Israel splitting in two. He lost his kingdom. Solomon and Israel's entire history tell us that the answer to our problem of faithlessness, to not being obedient, is not to try harder. Because we can try as hard as we like and we can't do it. I cannot be perfect. I cannot obey Jesus perfectly. I cannot be faithful to him by myself. And their story is just like ours. That is why God had to send somebody to be faithful on our behalf. He had to send someone to be faithful for us. The Father sent Jesus, the Son, to be faithful to the covenant where Israel had failed. Jesus came to do what Solomon couldn't do for the people. Jesus made the choice to be faithful to God. And he kept making that choice to be faithful as it was presented to him. He remained perfect. And you have. I will, and you will. But Jesus has fulfilled the law. He was faithful to the covenant, and then he bore the punishment that unfaithful people deserve upon himself at the cross, so that we could be counted faithful just like him. We can't remain faithful to God. We can't choose him by ourselves. Instead, Jesus did what neither Solomon nor we can do. He faithfully obeyed God and then offered to change places with people like you. The Holy Spirit in our hearts to keep us faithful. We can't choose him, but he will choose us. We can't remain faithful to him, but he puts his Spirit in our hearts to keep us faithful. On our behalf. First, he had to send Jesus to live the life that we couldn't live and to die the death that we couldn't die. He then sends his Holy Spirit to change us, to cause us to trust in him and to dwell within us and to keep us trusting Jesus. And that is ultimately how we remain faithful to him. Not by trying harder or by doing more, but by believing in Jesus. Rests on our believing in his promise. As long as our hope is pinned to the finished work of Jesus on the cross, in his life and in his death, then we are safe in him. We have to still strive to be faithful, the Bible says. If we really love Jesus himself, we will keep his commandments. Him. Ultimately saved by our. If my entering heaven was based on what I do, was based on what I achieve, I'm not getting in, and nor are you. But my getting into heaven is based on what Jesus has done, what Jesus has completed for me. And if you trust in him, it's based on what Jesus has completed for you. We're saved by Jesus' faithfulness on our behalf. And we're saved by turning away from ruling our own lives and trusting in all that Jesus has achieved for us and giving him back the right to rule over us. We remain faithful, believing that God will do what he wants, trusting in Jesus. I can't do this. I am not able. I can't be faithful. That's what a Christian says. But they also say, Jesus, I am sorry that I have sinned against you. I'm sorry that I failed to do what you command. But I trust that your death was for me. I trust that on the cross you paid the price for my sin. I trust that you will give me your perfect life. I believe that only you can make me right with God. I commit myself to you. And you're good. And that's the question for us, isn't it? Will you trust in him today? Whether you trusted in him yesterday, or you've never trusted in him before in your life, will you trust in him today? And will you trust in him tomorrow? And will you trust in him the day after that? Will you make yourself right with God by believing in the work of his Son for us? Will you know your sin forgiven and the joy of new life in Jesus? Will you turn from your sin? Will you trust in Jesus? And will you receive life in his name?